question was asked, Daniel saw it quoted in the Yakut Mamnoez that one of the things that one can do in advancing in tshuva is fasting. And Daniel, remind me, what was the specific point of the question?
If it is a proper form of tshuva.
If it is?
If it is a proper form of tshuva, and then more specific, the way of fasting on certain days, which has a certain value according to the Ma'am Lu'es, if we can take that for granted, or if that is just one opinion, or if we don't go like that.
Thank you. Okay. So I want to bring, I'm just trying to bring up the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, the Rama, if I'm not mistaken. And there is also a tshuva of the Noda B'Yehuda, which if you want, it's worthwhile to learn. The Noda B'Yehuda will begin with the end point. He gets a question. A guy sends him an interesting question. He says that he's been having an affair with his mother-in-law. I think that was the question. And now he wants to do tshuva. But he knows that the woman's been having an affair behind her husband's back. Does he have to let the husband know? Because this prohibits the woman, he's prohibited to remain with his wife. So that's the, if I'm not mistaken, that was the question. I would like to bring it up over here, but
that was a real case.
That was a real case. That was asked of the Noda B'Yehuda. And at the end, the Noda B'Yehuda tells the guy, he tells him, and now you asked me how you should do your tshuva, so I'm going to tell you. And you know, you probably have heard that I'm not a fan of afflictions, so I can't tell you serious bodily afflictions. I'll just tell you what I think you should, how you should do tshuva. So he tells him, for the next 5 years, don't sleep on a bed. Every Monday and Thursday fast. And he starts going through a whole list of things that the person should do. And this is, he says, and I don't believe, I'm not a fan of afflictions. This is like when you don't believe in afflictions. He starts going through the process of tshuva for this person. I'm only quoting this because we have to know that sometimes terminology is used and we can understand it literally. If one would read the Noda B'Yehuda, so one would think all kinds of things about him. He writes in one tshuva, he says, I don't understand diktuk at all. And then he goes on to expound in depth about diktuk. He says, I'm not one of those that really understands diktuk, but being that you asked me, so I'll tell you. So very often you see that in tshuva sfarim that rabbis write things about themselves which you can't take literally. By the same token, when we'll see things like the Noda B'Yehuda saying, and I don't believe in affliction, so we have to remember that the same Noda B'Yehuda says, I don't believe in affliction, and then he tells the person, okay, for the first few years, don't eat this food that you like, and don't sleep in a bed, and every few days you're going to fast. We have to know in what context to understand what's being said. Before we think about fasting as a mode of tshuva, let's think for a second of what is happening when we eat and in our performance of mitzvot every day. Chazal tell us that for every ounce of gashmius that we get in this world, so we're losing our ability. Gashmius is material things. For things that we vie for every aspect of material things that we attain in this world, so we're losing our ability to grow in Torah. So you'll say, okay. So why is it that when I walk into yeshiva, I don't see a bunch of paupers sitting there in these worn out shoes, and old 40-year-old shirts and pants. Everyone should be looking like way back when, no? You see a rabbi, you'd think the man should look like... you'd see his meal on a weekday, you'd think, I'll see a little piece of dry bread that angel just threw out, and a water he'll drink maybe in, the leftover paper that they have here will fold up. I mean, you don't want to derive benefit from a cup, so... right? So we have to know that when we read these things in the Gemara, we're talking about people who Abaye Rava, if his mother asked him to pass the butter, so then it would break his concentration that week. They'd concentrate in stretches of weeks. Their level of learning, they could say about themselves, if I have food to eat today and I'm worried about tomorrow, I don't have faith. Yeah, that's them. That's them. We're not on that level. If we don't have money in the bank to cover next month's rent, we're in trouble. Or at least if we don't know where we'll have it, if we don't have a job that's going to cover it. We buy medical insurance, and we have to have medical insurance, and we buy life insurance, and that's the way we're supposed to live our lives. We're not on that level. And by the same token, we need a certain level of gashmius, and what we need is a question. And it's a question that a person has to contend with in many decisions in life. But we have to know at the same time that the perspective has to be that if I want to grow, then part of growth is also minimizing my investment, be it physical, be it emotional, be it time, my investment in the material world. It's always going to come at a cost. If I want to grow spiritually, then intrinsically there's going to be a cost. It could be time, but very often it's going to be more than time. Very often it's going to be an investment of money, you have to buy books, it's going to be an investment of emotional strength, of focus. You have to invest, you can't grow without it. Now, sometimes when a person wants to break his Yetzer Hara and he wants to grow forward, he wants to do tshuva, so sometimes he's going to have to fast. But we have to know that's an extreme measure. And extreme measures are only used in extreme circumstances. The Ramah, I couldn't find it now, the Ramah in the Halachas of Family Purity discusses tshuva for an Isser Kares. I'll try one more time. Look for it. It'll be nice to just quote you the exact words. No. Okay, I can't find it now. So there, one of the things that Ramah discusses there is also fasting. Undoubtedly, for almost any sin, fasting is going to be a help, because most sins have to do with our material want. What we have to know is that fasting in our generation is different than fasting in previous generations. Up until about 100 years ago, people barely had food to put on the table. The average person, if he ate a piece of bread in a day, he was well off. It was good. And that's why we find the halacha speaking strictly about even pregnant women and nursing women, that they had a custom that even though they were permitted not to fast on the lenient fasts, they would fast. Because in their days, all they were eating was a slice of bread. So it wasn't a huge difference if they were eating it in the afternoon or they were eating it at night. We find that in the laws of Pesach, they say, if you use some dough to plaster your wool, come Pesach time, you have a problem with that dough. Why? Because we all know that when you get good and hungry, you break off a piece and you eat it. That's how they lived. it's in the laws of Pesach. I don't remember exactly. That's how their lives were. That they when they were hungry and then even the plaster, the dough they were using to plaster their walls, they were eating. So for them, fasting was less than it is for us. And that's why we have to consider many, many times before taking upon ourselves a fast. Because a fast today is harmful to us, much more so than in their days. Today we're more lenient because of that for pregnant women. And even on Yom Kippur, there will be many times where the doctors will say a woman shouldn't fast and the rabbis will agree. And certainly on the more lenient fasts, we're lenient with women because fasting for us is much more difficult. And if fasting once upon a time was a mode to help us do tshuva, then it was for extreme circumstances. Today it's going to be for more extreme circumstances, simply because it takes a more difficult toll on the body. But that doesn't mean it shouldn't be a part of it. It can be a part of it when it is necessary. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm done? Okay.
Oh, and about the... because this is an example for very severe sins.
on most of these things, the rule is don't self-prescribe. Just like a person doesn't take medication without going to a doctor, by the same token, it is ill-advised for a person to decide, okay, now I'm going to fast to do tshuva for A or B or C, and that's going to help my tshuva. Like Rabbi Akiva said, I sweat and toiled carrying this dead man across the desert to bury him in a proper place, and then I found out from my rabbeim that I'm going to pay a price in heaven for every footstep I carried the dead man. I was harming him. I wasn't helping him. And I tried to do a good thing and I did a bad thing. So in life, just because we want to do good, that's not enough. Judaism teaches us that the will is not enough. The action is defined, God defined. There is a positive and there is a negative. Every action has a reaction. Most people, when they fast, are more irksome. They're less friendly. They don't learn as much. There's always the question, when should I do it? Should I do it at all? And if I should do it, then when? And does the gain outweigh the loss? And does it outweigh it enough to make it worthwhile? All these things have to be weighed, and it's recommended to weigh them with someone who's knowledgeable and has experience and knows you. So that's why we always say it's good that a person has a Rebbe, and a person should consult with his Rebbe, before one does this. Unfortunately, we find that people trying to do good things can also find harm. Well, the halacha says a person can go crazy from learning Torah. If a person learns and learns and learns and learns, and after 23 years he hasn't taken a break, so I chose 23 at random. It doesn't say that number. but at some point, the person can go crazy. I think so too. No, it's been known to happen. There are people who'd happen to after a year, after 2 years, sure. Different people need different things. But that's why a person is recommended to take counsel with someone who, A, has experience, B, has learned Torah, I mean, substantial amount, and C, knows you and can work with you to find the formula that works for you. He writes numbers. Some of the numbers could be he's taking from the Ramah and over there in Shulchan Aruch, and some then could be based on Kabbalistic concepts. But I'm not sure that that's what would define what would be best for any specific individual, because there are a lot of factors to take into account. And again, don't forget they were living a different lifestyle, just like they were getting up at Chatzot, and that wasn't such an issue as we discussed earlier.